Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, everyone. It's another Tuesday night, and it's time for the Pugilist Corner. Greetings, Joseph. How are we doing this evening?
Well, I tell you what, brother. This is a great show that we have everyone lined up, I guess, for everyone tonight. And I have to tell you, I'm always excited to speak with these guests, but we do have some Pugilist Corner debuts sponsored by the law offices of Mario Davila, www.incaseofanaccident.com. Guys, we're going to be featuring right after our first guest, Mr. Tyson Fury, undefeated heavyweight contender. We're also going to be featuring middleweight contender Brian Vetta. We're also going to be featuring trainers Mr. Sam Garcia, Ronnie Shields, as well as our final slot filled by super featherweight prospect Mr. Joel Diaz Jr. But right now, ladies and gentlemen, we have the privilege of introducing and speaking to the current undefeated WBO middleweight champion of the world, Mr. Peter Kid Chocolate Quillen. Peter, how are you doing tonight, sir?
We're having a little delay. I just got text here from Mr. Quillen, so we're going to be delayed with Mr. Quillen. I'm going to have to switch a few things around. So, Joseph, would you kind of the audience while I kind of do my...
Of course, yes. Brother. I tell you what, just let me know who we're going to be speaking with as soon as you get them on the line. And I tell you what, speaking of Mr. Peter Quillen, though, he has a big event. He's been anxiously waiting all year to compete on the big stage and to have his very first title defense, because he won the title last October against... And Dom, who is the incumbent champion from France, in a breathtaking event, one of the best fights of the year. Well, he's going to be fighting in the co-main event on April 27th, and he's had to be in training for several months. He's had to watch this fight card get postponed and then rescheduled at Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. He's going to be in the co-main event against a very, very difficult opponent. Fernando Guerrero, his only loss is to Grady Brewer, in which he melted down to 154 pounds. When we actually spoke to the middleweight contender, who is competing at junior middleweight unwisely, he actually told us as much. He stated, you know, that was probably the worst decision I had made in my professional career, and we're at the weight right now where we should have always been. We should have never tried to go down to junior middleweight. I'm just not built for that. So he feels he learned a lot from that upset victory on Friday, or upset loss on Friday night fights against Grady Brewer several years ago. And he now feels that he is ready to fight for a major world title. And this is coming against Peter Quillen on April 27th. Very tough fight indeed. Should be action-filled for all of the fans watching. Now, it's going to be in the co-main event. In the main event of the evening, we're finally going to see Mr. Danny Garcia defend his titles against perennial contender and former world champion, Mr. Zab Judah. Now, after the fight was postponed, this promotion kind of lost a little steam, but guys, expect it to start picking up momentum in the next several weeks. This is going to be promoted heavily during the Canelo Alvarez-Austin Trout fight card that happens the week prior in San Antonio, Texas. They're both going to be televised on Showtime. And after the month that HBO has had, expect Showtime to really try to come back with something big. Yes, sir, JK.
Yes, sir. We had to shuffle our guests around a little bit, but we are pleased to present Mr. Brian Vera. Proper introductions, please.
Guys, this is always a real treat. We love featuring this gentleman on the show, and he's coming off of a big, big win on Friday Night Fights. Perennial middleweight contender and just a great guy. One of the best ambassadors of sport, the always tough, Mr. Brian Vera. Brian, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks for having me.
Well, I tell you what, brother, this is an exciting time to be in the middleweight division, my friend. We just saw
have
a tough, gritty victory on Friday Night Fights. We just saw Gennady Golovkin take care of business in Monte Carlo. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. is coming back in action in June. Hint, hint. So, what do we have to look forward to for Brian Vera in the near future, sir?
Oh, you know, there's a lot of talk of my manager's telling me that they're talking about Chavez Jr. So if everything goes, if they put the numbers right and everything goes right, then I would love to have that fight. So that's definitely up in the air right now.
Well, I tell you what, we really hope that you got your handlers and Top Rank Promotions can actually put that together, because that's an amazing fight. Two gentlemen who come forward, don't take a back step to anyone, and always give it everything they have in the ring. This should
right.
be, if this happens, a potential fight of the year. Now, Chavez Jr. is coming off of a big loss and also a big period of suspension, in which a lot of critics have claimed, well, he's lost a lot of momentum and lost a lot of clout within the industry and among the fight fans. Do you see it that way? Do you feel that Chavez Jr., if you get this fight, is really going to have a lot to prove and really going to try to make an example of the upset-minded Brian Vera?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to come in there. I think he'll be, you know, he's coming out that long layoff, so it's not going to help him any. I hope he's been, you know, watching his weight. I hope he's been watching his weight and checking it out, because I've been staying busy. So, if anything, you know, he does have a size advantage, but he hasn't been staying busy like me, and I'm hungry right now. So, you know, I know he's going to come to fight. He's got a tough guy, but I just feel like I would have a little bit of the advantage at this point, because he's still going to have to cut the weight. And I think it should be a great fight anyway, even, you know, for the fans, for everybody. We're both going to, you know, have to. You're not gonna have to tell us the fight. That's for sure. We're gonna be right on each other.
What's really interesting about this, Brian, is that Top Rank is already scheduled tentatively, but they already have slated, and they booked the Alamo Dome for that date. That's just about an hour and a half from where you live, man. How exciting is that to be taken on, if you do get this fight, a fight with Chavez Jr. in front of all of your hometown supporters, my friend?
Oh, it'd be beautiful, man. It almost, I got to see it on paper before that happens. I think it'd be perfect. You know, I live in Austin, so it is right on the street. I got a lot of fans also in San Antonio and Houston. So, usually he fights in San Antonio and has a big crowd, but I think I'll have the advantage on that as well. You know, I think that there's a big Mexican crowd there, but they love his dad and stuff, but I also have a big following, so it's going to be all, we both win in that situation.
Well, let me ask you this. Now, I'm not sure about this, so I'm going to ask you. Haven't you sparred with Chavez Jr. before?
Yeah, I did, and I sparred him in Dallas. I think it was when I was going to fight Pavlik on the Pacquiao and Margarito card. They had, since Pavlik went to rehab or whatnot, I fought him. I mean, they had me come in to spar Chavez. Yeah, I sparred him twice. I felt like I had the advantage, though, because I was in great shape. I was going to fight Pavlik, and, you know, he put out late. So he was just getting ready to start camp. So in our team, I felt like I had the advantage on him. But it was good work, man. It was good work.
You're just being humble now, aren't you, man?
I don't want to just say I tore him up or anything, but, you know, I did good.
Well, I tell you what, let's look at this past Friday night fight's bout. Very controversial ending in the minds of a lot of boxing fans and a lot of fight critics. But was there any controversy really in your mind? I mean, if a guy says he can't continue because of a bad cut and it's not caused by a headbutt, and the doctor and the ref see this as, hey, this is really bad, he can't continue, where's the controversy, Brian?
I don't know. You're right. I mean, in my eyes, like he didn't want to fight me. He didn't want to fight anymore, man. I mean, he had three more rounds to go. It was getting worse for him, and, you know, he had a little spurts at moments. I don't know. I don't really know what Teddy Adams was talking about when I rewatched the fight, but he had little moments in there, man, but it was actually just, I mean, in my eyes, it was kind of an easy fight, man, but he was just like a little wiry guy, man, so. He was going to get worse for him. It was going to open up worse. It probably was going to be a bad, worse outcome for him. So yeah, I think it was good that he got stopped when he got stopped.
You know, what's amazing is, you know, we saw Teddy Atlas during the broadcast state that he felt that Bondurus was actually winning the fight. His corner probably thought the same thing. Do you think that's why they actually told the referee and the doctor that he wasn't able to see out of that eye and that he couldn't continue because he made the mistake of thinking that the fight was going to go to the judges' scorecards? Do you think that's what they were thinking?
Yeah, they may have. And, you know, he said he didn't speak good English and stuff. We had a press conference the day of the weigh-ins, and he spoke, you know, he answered all the questions in English. He spoke good in English. I don't know what they're talking about. You know what I mean? I'm just saying what it is. I mean, they say he don't speak English, but hell, he carried a great conversation at the press conference. So, I don't know, man.
It's funny how that works, isn't it?
Exactly. Crazy,
but I tell you what, credit to you, Brian, for always wanting to stay active and never refusing any fights. I mean, this is a big stage. Friday night fights, they have a ton of viewers every single week, and it's become the premier platform underneath Showtime and HBO. Is that
right?
One of the main reasons why your handlers insisted that, hey, let's get this fight? Because you didn't have to fight Bondurus.
No, I didn't. They my manager, Ronnie Shields, got together and said, you know, let's stay busy and let's keep working on what we've been working on. And you get to be on primetime ESPN, you know, might as well just show the fans, you know, another fight. And again, I also, yeah, try to get better, and every fight is a risk. Every fight is taking a chance, so we thought it was a great idea, man. I mean, you know, it plays, like you said, a lot of viewers on ESPN and stuff, so I don't think it hurt me by any means.
Not at all. You got the KO or TKO victory, and at the end of the day, people are going to look at your box rec and your resume and say, wow, he got a TKO victory over Bondurus.
Yeah, that's it, right?
That's pretty much
right,
it.
Man.
You know, only the avid diehards will remember the exact circumstances, because Floyd Mayweather is still enjoying his undefeated record when pretty much a lot of boxing critics and fight fans that are diehard and remember his first bout with Jose Luis Castillo insists that he already has a loss on his resume, or should anyway. So,
yep.
Quite honestly, man, job well done, my friend.
thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it. and I came out of there with unscathed. Right? That made for even better. You know, I came out healthy, came out clean. I didn't get no cuts, and then everything came out good. So I'm happy about that.
Absolutely. Now, this is something that I've been wanting to ask you. Ronnie, okay, he believes in Ryan Breda. He's already told me, you know, and in several conversations that he thinks you have a lot of potential and he sees you getting a big championship fight sometime this year. But in your last two events on ESPN, he's had to actually fulfill other duties with some of his other fighters within his stable.
Right.
How tough is that for you?
You know, at first, you know, because, you know, I'm used to getting, you get more of the attention, but I understand that Ronnie has a lot of fighters, and he made it clear that he goes by who he's been with longer, which he's been with everyone longer. He's been with the last guy longer. And if he says, you know, if he got the guy fighting and you've been with me longer, I'll roll with you, you know, on the same day. It just happened to be that we got these fights scheduled on the same times. And my fights were not as in a big platform as the other fights I guess with these other guys. So I don't know. I think that he has my best interest by, you know, him and my manager as well. I don't want to say of course I wish he was there, but I don't want to say he's doing it for because he doesn't want to be there. You know what I mean?
We all know what Ronnie's intentions are.
If it's a big fight, though, you know, if it's a big world title fight and he can't be there, then that'd be tough. You know what I'm saying? That'd be out.
Like, well, I guarantee fight, you, Jordan, brother, because he lives in Houston. I guarantee you, if you get that fight with Chavez Jr., you couldn't pull him away from the Alamo Dome, my friend.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think he'll be at 100%.
So when you look at this fight,
what's that?
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brian.
No, yeah, I would definitely, I think he'd be there, and I'd be in camp a lot longer than I have for these other fights, and going there, having to, you know, have to go in there with that mindset of having to win, you know, do all I can to make sure I get that win and get that fight.
Absolutely, you know, and we really hope that takes place. And quite honestly, what I'm hearing is, yeah, it looks very favorable. It's just all about the numbers at this point. But Top Rank loves the fight. You know, his management, Chavez's management, Beltran loves this fight. The fans are going to love this fight. This is just a win-win for everyone, dude.
I think so, man. And, you know, I think he's going to train hard. I'm going to train hard, and we're going to give everybody what they need, you know, what they would expect, I think.
Absolutely. So I tell you what, you know, Edwin was – and Ronnie, they were in Monte Carlo, and we saw Edwin go through a somewhat of an uncomfortable and tough fight in which he got the unanimous decision – and he goes on in the finals to face Mr. Denis Krejcik, who's a very tough, rugged fighter in the light heavyweight division. But in the main event, we saw Gennady Golovkin just annihilate Nobuhiro Ishida. Brian, there are a lot of guys in the middleweight division who are going to be looking at Gennady Golovkin and saying, you know, unless there's a lot of money involved, unless there's close to seven figures,
yep,
I don't know if I want to step in the ring with Gennady. What is your thought process? What is your mindset in facing the seemingly indestructible fighter, Gennady Golovkin, in the middleweight division?
I mean, yeah, like you said, he is a great fighter, he's had, but it's somebody. The only person that's gonna give him trouble, the guy's gonna come at him just as strong as him, and not be afraid of him. But the guy can punch, and he controls himself real well. But he has had trouble in fights where he gets hit a lot too, and we have to come with a game plan of making that happen and stay on top of him, because you know Ishida was doing time to box more. Ishida's more of a junior middleweight, kind of a big junior middleweight, but. He was just outclassed, man, and wasn't strong enough to make him respect him, you know what I mean?
You know, that's right. So what do you think? Do you think that because we've seen a little bit of everything from Gennady Golovkin up to this point, but we really haven't seen anyone have the brass to really just stay right in his chest and to smother his offense, do you think that might be the key to finally handing Gennady Golovkin his first professional loss?
I think so, man. The more comfortable he is what's going to give him a lot of trouble. He's used to having his way and being in control. And, the last guy he fought, the last two guys he fought ran around the ring the whole time trying to box him. And he stalks him down and knows that he's stronger and knows that they're scared of him. So you got to go in there and get, like you said, you got to, you know, smother him, show him that you're not afraid of him, and get up inside and let him take what he gives out a little bit. And that's what I think is going to give him trouble. It's going to take it's going to take you so much. It's going to take you my best or whoever's best, so to go in there and do that to him, because he's definitely a good fighter.
Oof, absolutely. And, you know, we look forward to possibly seeing you in the ring maybe later this year with Gennady Golovkin on HBO. Now, Chavez Jr., this fight would be on HBO if it does take place. All signs lead to that. Chavez Jr., in his last bout, seemed to have a lot of his inadequacies kind of exposed. And I'm not just talking about in the ring. I'm talking about his lack of mental preparation before a fight, his lack of focus, his lack of drive. We all saw it displayed on 24/7. I don't know if this was for the benefit of just good drama on HBO or if that was actually what was really unfolding in the ring. Now, everything I've heard points to that. But what are your thoughts? Do you think this was just an anomaly, or do you think this is kind of what you have to expect from Chavez Jr.? And do you feel that that's where you're going to have the advantage if you get that big fight? Because there's no quit in Brian Vetta.
Yes, sir. No, to me, it's he'll probably do a little bit of the same thing. I think he probably learn a little bit of his lesson, but he seems kind of hard-headed. He seems like he's probably going to still going with the attitude of he can do what he wants and he's the boss or whatever. But I hope, you know, I'm gonna look at it as he's not doing it. I'm gonna prepare like he's getting 100% ready, and I'm not gonna take anything lightly. But if he does do that, yes, that will give me an advantage for sure.
Oof, boy, I tell you what, we really hope that fight actually takes place, because it is, even before you guys step in the ring, it's a candidate for fight of the year, my friend. I love this matchup. I really hope it takes place. Brian, we're gonna give you the last comments to, I guess, greet all of your fans who are listening and give them an indication of what to expect in the future, sir.
Just expect me to stay. I'm still staying busy. Most people see me in the last two fights on ESPN and the boxing world, and feel like I'm getting better, and I want to go out there and what better place to do it on HBO against Chavez Jr., one of the biggest names out there. And, you know, just follow me on Twitter, BP Warrior, and Facebook. But I plan on making a lot of noise out here this year.
Excellent. We look forward to seeing you on HBO once again, Brian, and we can't wait. Hopefully it does happen at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio on June 22nd. So thank you so much for being on the program once again. And as soon as that big fight is announced, we'd love to have you back on so we can talk more about this just scintillating matchup. But thank you once again, Brian, for being on the program, sir.
Hey, thank you guys for having me, man.
Have a good evening, my friend.
All right, buddy. Y'all too. Thank you, bud.
Well, guys, that was the always formidable Mr. Brian Vetta. But, guys, right now at this time on the Pugilist Corner, we have a very special treat for everyone. Making his debut to the show, undefeated heavyweight contender, 20-0, Mr. Tyson Fury. Tyson, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing good. I'm doing really good. It's a pleasure to be on the show, and I'd like to say a big hello to all the listeners.
Well, I tell you what, this is a really special treat because you usually don't train in Canada, and we don't get very many opportunities to feature a gentleman who's based out of the UK. What has this training camp been like, and are you excited to feature your talents on the big stage of Madison Square Garden, New York, New York?
Firstly, the training camp's going absolutely brilliant, you know. We've got some top guys here for sparring. We've got all the right weights and facilities. We're in a nice hotel. You know, the training camp's absolutely perfect. No excuses, you know. We're not leaving any stones unturned. Training as hard as ever, and really looking forward to the fight. Now, am I excited about fighting in New York? Of course. It's Madison Square Garden. You know, a lot of top fighters have fought there throughout the years. So just like to add my name to that list. Top in the bill at MSG doesn't get any bigger than that, does it?
No. You know, we're all really looking forward to it. And even better, Tyson, this fight is going to be televised on public free network TV all across America on the Peacock NBC. How exciting is that to be in all of the living rooms throughout all of America?
You know, it's very exciting, but it's where Tyson Fury belongs. It's where everyone can see a real fighter fight, you know, a real heavyweight, a real modern-day heavyweight, 6'9", 250 pounds, all action. I think America's going to love me, you know. My style of fighting and the way I conduct myself is just second to none, you know. I'm very entertaining in and out the ring. So I'd just like to, I hope Cunningham comes for a fight, you know, and we give everybody what they want to see, you know. So I'm really, really looking forward to it, and I just can't wait to get it going. I wish it was this Saturday, really, rather than in 2-3 weeks' time. I'm all systems
well,
go,
honestly,
you know.
So
keep
do
rolling
we,
ahead.
We can't wait to see your big American debut, and you know, as the main event in a huge stage on a huge stage like this, NBC. Wow, this is going to be great. Now, Steve Cunningham, former cruiserweight champion, has a great resume in which he's fought a lot of tough opposition. You know, this is, a lot of people are looking at this as by far your toughest test to date. Are you actually seeing it that way?
To be honest, Steve Cunningham's a former cruiserweight champion. I know that. I know he's a tough guy and he's got a lot of heart and determination to win. But let's just say, in my opinion, Steve Cunningham's out of his depth, you know. There's never been a heavyweight like me before in history, and there never will be another one. I'm one of a kind, you know. There's been cruiserweights come up before and beat heavyweights and won the world title, but I'm sorry for Steve Cunningham that I have to be here in this moment in time, and he has to fight Tyson Fury. And he's in trouble, you know. There's not a cruiserweight on the planet can give me a fight. Never mind Steve Cunningham. What can I say? I'm going for a KO. As soon as I hit this guy, he's going to sleep. Straight away. Whether it's the first 10 seconds, the 10th round, or the 5th round, or the 9th round. He cannot take what I've got to give.
Oh, I love it. And I can't wait to see it. And ladies and gentlemen, it's happening on April 20th. Madison Square Garden is going to be on NBC. Now, Tyson, Steve Cunningham, he's a guy who we've seen ever since coming into heavyweight division, has elected to box his opposition, and that's your forte. We've seen you actually, you seem to be somewhat of a chameleon. We've seen you fight in orthodox stance. We've seen you fight out of the southpaw stance. We've seen you use the entire ring proficiently, as in the case of your fight with Derek Chisora. And you are for a 6'9 fighter, you are a superb athlete. Do you think your athleticism is really going to catch Mr. Steve Cunningham by surprise?
I do, you know. People don't expect me to be able to move so good and be quick on my feet and throw fast combinations. But, you know, when they're in front of me, it's total different to watching me on TV or being outside the ropes, you know. When we're in the ring, it's total different. It's me and you. And like you say, I am a chameleon and I can adapt to any style in front of me. Whether I need to come forward and fight, be aggressive, go on the back foot, box, counter punch, southpaw, orthodox, I need to throw hooks, uppercuts or straights. I can do it all. And I believe I'm the full package. That's why I'm going to unify the heavyweight division. So,
you know,
there you have it.
Yeah, I love it, Tyson. And quite honestly, we all love on the Pugilist Corner, we love watching you fight. You're an exciting fighter. You let your hands go. You're a smart fighter. That's something that I think has been sorely lacking in the heavyweight division. And no offense to any of the other heavyweights, because we see the Klitschkos are very cerebral fighters, and you seem to be cut from the same cloth. You seem to be very tactical when you have to. You seem to be able to let your hands go when you have to. Is that your mindset going into each and every fight, that you're really going to play a powerful game of chess with your opponent?
You know, this is heavyweight boxing, and as we've seen time and time again, mistakes are made, people get countered and knocked out, you know. There's an old saying, only fools rush in. You know, I'm not going to rush into some guy who's throwing bombs, and I'm not going to stand back of some guy who's boxing. There's an old saying, don't fight a fighter and don't box a boxer. Well, that is the attack on all fights. You know, you got to use your brain. And, like, it's not always the biggest, toughest, strongest, fastest fighter who wins. It's the man who's got the most brains and the man who uses it mostly. You know, punches ain't just to be thrown. They're to be thrown to set up other things. like you say, I am an intelligent fighter, and, you know, I'm getting better and better every fight. And the more sparring I'm getting with world-class fighters, the better I'm getting. And I'm 24. I've got a long time to reign.
You know, that's absolutely incredible. You're 24 years old only, and we've seen you progress amazingly throughout your professional career. You know, but a lot of critics insist, oh, well, his handlers are just taking his time with Tyson Fury. You know, a lot of his handlers are, they're waiting for the Klitschkos to retire. But then we've heard in the media that that's not the case. You want to be able to beat a world champion to become a world champion. So which one is it, Tyson? We want you to set the record straight on the Pugilist Corner tonight, sir.
Let me set it all straight. I'll fight the Klitschkos or Povetkin any time, place, where, in their own house, back garden, on a trampoline, wherever they want to fight, I'll fight them, yeah? If they want to fight one after the other, I'll do that as well. The Klitschkos and Povetkin ain't no match for Tyson Fury in anything. Whether it's running, jumping, boxing, fighting, singing, skipping, dancing, talking, they're no match for me at anything. And I will go there, I'll prove it. I'll go to Germany, I'll go wherever they want to fight, you know. But I do believe they won't fight Tyson Fury, not a chance in history. I believe I'm going to fight another eliminator now against Cunningham. Then I'll fight a final eliminator against Pulev if he takes it. And then I'll fight for a vacant title because I know the Klitschkos are going to retire before facing the young lion, Tyson Fury. Because,
you know,
at 37 or 42, how much more has a man got? You know, age waits for nobody. But it's one of them things where age has got to catch up, and the young guys always take over. It's the same time and time again. And it's my time now to take over this this division that's been lacking so much talent and charisma in recent years. You know, Klitschkos may be able to speak five different languages and they're educated to the hilt, but nobody can relate to them. Nobody's interested in them outside of Eastern Europe.
You know, that seems to be the case
thinking,
in America.
I want
to
be like Tyson Fury, inspiring to be like the heavyweight champion of the world, like I used to. Like people of past times used to think, well, I want to be like heavyweight champion of the world. People don't grow up anymore saying, I want to be like Vladimir Klitschko. I want to be a big robotic stiff. You know, it's crazy.
You know, that's you're a hard man to argue with, Tyson. But you know what's amazing is that a lot of people before David Price's bout with Tony Thompson, they were talking about a big-time UK matchup between you and Mr. David Price. And you stated before both of your respective bouts, which were about the same time, that David Price wasn't ready for me. He wasn't even in my league yet. He still had a lot of growing to do. And you even stated that you wouldn't doubt it if Tony Thompson absolutely pulled off the upset. Well, your words seem to be prophetic. How did you see that coming? And why did you, I mean, what did you see in David Price that led you to believe that he just wasn't ready for you yet?
You know, the guys are just a big amateur with no head guard on. You know, he hops back in straight lines and he does the kangaroo hop, hop, hop. You know, fighters like that ain't ready for someone as slick as me, who can go around the side and throw underhand punches and over the top. I was exactly bang on the nail because Tony Thompson just exposed him for what he was, a 42-year-old, out-of-shape guy who, if you take him past four or five rounds, he's going to be gassing. You know, he didn't come over until 4 days before the fight, so he's still jet-lagged as well. It was an uphill battle
right.
for Tony Thompson. But I did say as soon as he steps up into the top 10 in the world, he will be flattened, and sure he was. But you know what it is? I'm sure that the British public will get behind David Price again and they'll still think he's a killer and he can take on the world after another couple of bums he beats, you know. And then he'll be able to beat Tyson Fury again. That drum will be beaten, yes. Tyson Fury's a bum. We're going to knock him out. And it's just like, it makes me laugh, you know what I mean? Because when it comes to heavyweights, I am a heavyweight historian. And I don't think there's a heavyweight in the world that I don't know about. If he can fight, I know about him. And if he's supposed to be someone, I'll know about him. I know how he boxes or whatever. And I can tell you now, as a fact, there's not many heavyweights in the world out there that is going to be able to even give me a fight. And I'm not talking through confidence or being stupid or whatever. I actually am telling the truth, and I'm going to prove it, you know. I'm not just a big mouth and a pretty face. I actually can back it up when it comes to fighting as well. And I don't just believe it. I wholeheartedly believe it. The only person who can beat me is my own self through failing to prepare, you know. And that's going to be the thing, keeping focus, keeping my mind on the game. Because it can be in some circumstances that you can be choking here. You can be.
It's quite all right. Take your time, sir.
I needed a drink of water. You can be left in the dark, and like things can't. If you're not kept active, the activity is the main thing in boxing. You know, one or two fights a year is no good for a man like me, because my personality is all or nothing. It's like, if I fight, I want it all or nothing. I don't just want to. I want to impress every time. You know, if I go down the pub and I have a beer, I'm not just going to have two. I'm going to have 50. You know what I mean? I'm going to stay there until I can't stand up. My personality is like that. It's all or nothing. It's like I don't know what it is. Everything I do, I've got to win. I've got to be competitive. It's got to be everything at the same time. And for me to just have one or two fights a year, I just can't keep focused. You know. I need to be kept busy. I need 5-6 fights a year, even 12 rounders. I'm not bothered. Like, we've got this Cunningham fight, and then I'll know by Thursday if I'm scheduled on May 17th again and another 12 rounder in Canada. So I'm not trying to keep busy.
So you really plan on taking North America by storm now, don't you?
150,000,000%. You know, I'm going to New York. I'm going to make a big bang. You're going to see the lean, mean, green, fat grilling machine in New York, and then you're going to I'm just going to cross back over to Canada and hopefully have a nice little fight in Canada right at the casino, and then just relax in the pool for a while, and then I'll be looking to get out again.
Wow, that is really exciting, because I know a lot of fans in America have been wondering, is Tyson Fury for real? Is this a guy who can really pose a threat to both Klitschko brothers, who currently have a stranglehold on the heavyweight division? And we've seen in their recent contests that it really hasn't been a contest. So I'd like to give you this opportunity to tell America, hey, I'm the guy. I'm the heir apparent. You're listening to currently the future heavyweight champion, one who's going to bring excitement back to boxing.
You know, I don't think I need to say any more than watch me fight April 20th, either NBC or get yourself down to MSG. Because, you know, you've heard a lot of people talk before in the past. There's been a lot of hype jobs come from Britain, you know. Do not mistake Tyson Fury with the rest of the hype jobs over in the UK. There's a lot of hype around the world now. There's a lot of heavyweights who's supposed to be gonna woulda, shoulda, coulda, done something. But I am the heir to the throne. You know, the late, great Emmanuel Stewart, he also was saying to Vladimir Vitali, Tyson's going to take your titles. Within 18 months, this was 18 months ago, he was saying straight to Vladimir's title, there's the next heavyweight champion of the world. You're looking at him, that kid in the corner. You know, I was out of shape kid, 280 pounds, wasn't training properly, and just eating junk and whatever. But, I was like a rough diamond that needed polishing. And for the last 18 months, I've been being polished. And I'm ready to go in someone's nice in somebody's nice ring, you know, and that polished jewel, ready to fight.
You know, that's very interesting. Now, you've actually sparred with Vladimir Klitschko, haven't you? Because
nope,
of your...
I was at the camp, but he wouldn't spar because he was fighting Derek Chisora at the time, and I was too big for the sparring.
Wow. Because, because of the affiliation with Emmanuel Stewart, Andy Lee was very close to the entire Klitschko camp, and obviously, you guys are cousins, correct?
Yeah.
So, you know what's funny is when last time actually Mr. Andy Lee was on the program, and this is back when Emmanuel Stewart was still alive and back when he was still training in Detroit, we asked him, okay, if Tyson ever fights Vladimir, you know, that's going to be very tough for you emotionally now, is it? And he said, not really. How do you feel about that? I mean, because he feels the same way. that you're going to be the future heavyweight champion. You know, how do you feel about that support publicly for Mandy Lee?
You know, it's great to have Andy Lee on my side. Andy Lee's my cousin, so if he wasn't on my side, we'd be having a fight outside anyway. But let's just say Andy sparred us both, and he'll tell the truth. He doesn't have to lie on my behalf. He'll tell the truth who's the most awkward, who's the hardest to hit, whatever. You know, the Klitschkos, let's not make any mistakes or put people in false illusions. The Klitschkos have been great dominant champions for the past 8 to 10 years. They've held the division and they've took on basically everybody who can fight. But, you know, let's go back and look. From Lennox Lewis, there hasn't really been any outstanding talents. You've got some out-of-shape guys who, after 6-7 rounds, they're getting beat purely because the Klitschkos are better athletes and better shape, you know. Vladimir and Vitali Klitschko are 24-7, 365 days a year in shape, you know. They're phenomenal athletes. You know, these guys who do a six-week training camp from getting down from 300 pounds eating burgers and ice cream, they can't go and fight a phenomenal athlete like the Klitschkos. I don't know if you can name me, over the past 8 years, one fighter who's actually been in there and properly went for them, you know what I mean? To give them a proper fight and hasn't went just to survive or to try and nick a point or two here and there and hope for a decision. You know, I can't name one, apart from the times that he obviously got beat by Brewster and Corey Sanders. But after that, there hasn't really been anybody to go and take the bull by the horns, you know, and really stand up to him.
What's amazing is that, you know, if you ever do get a fight with Vladimir Klitschko, because it doesn't look like Vitali is even interested in fighting anymore at this point, but we'll find out for sure later this year. But Vladimir, if there is a big fight with Tyson Fury, ultimately the American media is going to automatically point to the David Haye fight, the last Brit to really go for the title against Vladimir. Now, I don't want to assume anything, but I think you were pointing to that fight because that was really disappointing to a lot of fight fans.
Definitely.
Your thoughts on the lackluster effort by David Haye?
You know, David Haye conned the nation, the British public, and he conned the rest of the world as far as I'm concerned. You know, the way I look at David Haye, I don't see him as a man or nothing else, you know. He gives it the big, big mouth, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. He acts a fool, and then he goes in there and he doesn't do nothing. He runs away for 12 rounds and doesn't even try. You know, that to me, I don't want to come out with vulgar language on your show because I'm not into doing stuff like that, but that is an absolute, I wouldn't know what you'd call him. He just run for the hills, didn't he, and he didn't even try. All he was bent on doing was surviving and saying, I went 12 rounds with a Klitschko. But let me tell you the difference in me and David E. I'd rather die in that boxing ring than do that. I'd rather go out on my shield, whether I lose in the first round, trying to win, than lose on points and come second best, you know. I'm not into going in there and losing on points. So if I'm going to lose, I'm going to lose properly. I'm going to get carried out the ring because I'm going to go out trying. I don't care if it's the last 10 seconds or the last seconds, I'm going to be throwing punches until I get them or they get me. There's no losing on points here. When I'm behind, it's all or nothing. And that's my mentality. And there's not a lot of fighters like that. My heart and determination is second to none. You can never disencourage me. Whenever you hit me and knock me down, I'm going to get back up and I'm going to get straight back into you. To keep me down, you've got to knock me out. That's how you beat Tyson Fury. Easy. Knock him out, because if you don't, I'm coming for 12 rounds, and I'm fit and strong and ready.
We love it. We love your mentality, Tyson, and we can't wait to see you in action April 20th at Madison Square Garden, guys. If you're in the area, get your tickets. If you're in the opposite end of the country, tune in to NBC on that day. But, Tyson, before we let you go, there is a very special guest who would like to greet you and wish you the best of luck coming up on April 20th. And that is the current WBO middleweight champion, Kid Chocolate, Mr. Peter Quillin. Peter, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I am super blessed, and I am even more super blessed to be on the phone with such a great guy, Tyson Fury. He's fighting my friend, but I'm just a fan of the sport first, and I would like to see the best man win. And, you know, that's the blessings about a boxing game, is that us fighters can be fans too.
Yeah, definitely. It's great to speak to you, Petey. You're a hell of a fighter.
Thank you so much, Tyson, man, and good luck. And the fight is April 20th?
April 20th, Madison Square Garden.
Man, let's hope that I'm in town. I would definitely come and show my support just to be there and everything. I would love to be there.
Good man. Much appreciated.
Tyson, it's been an absolute pleasure featuring you on this show tonight. Thank you so much for being on the Peter's Corner. We hope to have you back very soon, and we want to wish you the best of luck at Madison Square Garden against Steve Cunningham April 20th.
Thank you very much, sir. Good night. God bless you, and I'll be there, and it's all action.
We can't wait. God bless you too, Tyson.
Take it
you
easy.
Have a very good evening, sir.
Bye-bye.
Wow, Peter. How are you doing tonight, sir? I tell you what, you're always such a great ambassador for the sport. That just shows a lot of your character. I know Steve Cunningham's very close to you, but, man, wishing his opponent the best of luck and being a fan in the process, I love it.
Man, that's the best thing about the sport that, us fighters have to respect. Like, me having the fight coming up April 27th, I don't respect every fan to root for me. We need fans to root for Fernando because he's going to need it.
Now, that's right. On April 27th, you're going to be taking on. That's right. It's the following week. Now,
Yes. Since
you don't fly out until, say, Sunday or Monday, I think you could probably catch that big fight at MSG. What do you think there, man?
I mean, I'm going to try my best. I don't know when we flying out. You know, what I do when I'm in camp, I don't worry about anything besides hitting the gym, being focused, being ready. I got my friend, Johnny Perez, who makes sure that everything that I can't worry about, he's worried about for me, and we get it done. But most importantly, if I'm there in town, I would love to be there because, like I said, I'm a fight fan first.
Absolutely. And since this is going to be on NBC, boy, that'd be a great chance to show the current WBO middleweight champion on the screen.
Yes, sir. That would be some fly stuff. You know what I'm saying? Because just being out there, man, just being with the fans and being there part of every moment that these fighters fight. You know what I'm saying? It's special moments, man. This is history being made every time the fighters fight, step out there and fight. Especially, you know, on network television and, you know, how NBC is trying to bring back the best fights out there, you know. And, you know, I'm just blessed, man, all the way around.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? We can't wait to see you compete and make your very first title defense on April 27th at Barclays Center. And this has been a long time coming, Peter. How unnerving has it been to have to wait for the main event fighter to get better? I mean, it had to have been tough for you mentally.
Well, you know, this is what it is. You know, a lot of fighters, they when they find out they fight a fight, they go get prepared for the fight. Me, I'm always prepared. That's the best shape you can be in is always in shape. So I'm in the gym. My mentality is gym. I'm a gym rat. I love the gym. I love teaching boxing. I love learning things myself. I just love eating right. I just love sharing my thoughts about boxing with other people. I just love boxing, period. So, you know, as far as, you know, Danny Garcia's rib getting held, you know, it's very important, very instrumental for him to be able to do that because I know he wants to create moments for himself and as well for Zab. So, like, I just want to see these fighters get the opportunity that they deserve. So, you know, I'm glad the fight has been made April 27th. I'll be more than ready and fit and ready to go fighting against Never Guerrero because he's never going to be trying fighting me.
Yeah. You know, that's very that's really funny, you know, but most people look at this as the absolute truth. Fernando Guerrero, you know, in stepping up and fighting a tough, gritty veteran in Grady Brewer, he was knocked out on the big platform of Friday Night Fights. He claims that he's learned from that, and it was because he slimmed down and really starved himself to make 154. He says that was the worst decision he's ever made. He learned from that. He says he is at the weight that he's supposed to be competing in, and he claims that he is ready to take the gold. What are your thoughts about his mental state going into this fight?
Oh, poor baby. I'm sorry to hear that, you know, making the wrong kind of decisions on your career. You know, shouldn't you already know that you cannot make 154? Like, that's like me telling myself, I'm going to make 154 without even trying it first. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's something when you don't have a fight, you try to challenge yourself and do and learn about your body. But, like, for him to do that and get ready for a fight and prepare, like, you know, I don't know what he was thinking. But for the most part, yeah, he might have learned about the loss and about taking a loss and what it feels like to be a loser. I haven't. My hunger has always been within to be the best out there, to try to make sure that when I step out there, I'm at my best. I'm at my top. I'm at my tippy top. And I never use things as an excuse why we should fail. I use things as an excuse to always be better. You know, these guys, and for instance, he's just calling out Jannetty Golovkin. He was calling out some of the other guys, and he got a fight with me. And, you know, and now I got to show him why picking me was the wrong guy. You know what I'm saying? Because not only that, I haven't been praised my whole life about being anything. You know, I haven't been praised saying, champ, you're going to be. My life been fighting, man, but it wasn't always boxing. My life is fighting in the street, fighting through struggles, fighting because people made fun of me about the shoes that I wore. That's been my fight my whole life. So, like, this is easy for me to be able to go out there and know what I can do and know my ability and not do it for nobody first, but for me first. Because how are you going to be able to do anything for yourself? I mean, for other people, if you can't do it for yourself first. That's why I don't understand about this kid when he say these things and when we promoting the fight. I do it for the fans. Like, I do it for my fans, too, but I do it for myself first because the fans support you. They support what you're doing it for. They support your reason. So, like, I'm not saying that my reason is to go up in there and defend my title. I'm just defending my title. You know what I'm saying? That's all I'm doing. I got my belt. I know that it was hard getting there. I know they ain't going to be easy now. Why should it be easy now? I just know that I'm going to be ready, and I'm taking it up animal status.
You know what's amazing, Peter, is you talk about both of your backgrounds, and, you know, your background is very well documented. And it's an amazing story. You know, you've really scratched and clawed to get to where you are now. Fernando Guerrero, he had somewhat of a tough childhood, you know, relocating to America. But he was brought in and taken in under the wing of Mr. Hal Ketchum. Now, this is – or Hal Turnham, I'm sorry. And, you know, he has been like a father to Fernando Guerrero. And he's really – you know, he really hasn't struggled since that time, not like you have. And when we talk to the both of you, and we talk to the both of you, we can tell the difference. I mean, very, very easily. You know, do you think that's going to be the difference, that ultimately the primary difference in the fight?
Yeah, because my whole life has been a fight by myself with nobody. New York City, where I've been, and all where my dad stood for. When I come, he said, oh, yesterday we did a media call, and he said, you probably haven't ever been to Cuba. I've been to Cuba. I seen my father's crib they lived in over 32 years ago, my dad. They still live in the same place. It's a struggle. My whole life is a struggle. My dad went to prison. My life has been effed up, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, and for me to just have this glory about, you know, being the champion of the world, that's right there, man. Do you know how many people can relate to stories like that when they've been down on their luck? You know, I think it's bigger than boxing to me, man. It's not even about, you know, me just doing the well and going out to fight. It's like me fighting through the struggles is the main important part. That's why I said it's much easier for him to know that when it's time to, like, he got me on his ass, excuse my language, but I'm out there and I'm putting pressure on him and I'm hitting him hard. Like, I've been through everything. It's going to be easy for him to give up. It's not going to be easy for me to give up because we come from two different kinds of struggles, man. You know, he's can't forget where he come from, and I hope he didn't forget that. But if not, we're going to see in this fight, we're going to see how much he forgot about where he's from. Because, you know, me, my whole life has been a fight and been a struggle. And I'm not trying to get nobody the sob story. And there's not an opportunity for me to give one. But I could tell you one thing, when I go out there and fight and they should see the fight in me, they're going to be like, man, you know what? I can see what this is. They're going to feel it. They're going to know what I'm talking about.
That is amazing, and we can't wait to see you in action April 27th at the Barclays Center in New York City. You know, on this fight card, you're going to be featured once again in the co-main event on Showtime in this brilliant fight card, but you guys are going to be going head-to-head with Mr. Sergio Martinez and Martin Murray. You know, and unfortunately, because of the current network disputes with Golden Boy Promotions in Top Rank Boxing, this fight that a lot of people would love to see, Sergio Martinez versus Peter Quillin, there's absolutely no chance of that happening.
You want to tell you what's crazy that you say that? Because I just read an article today about Sam, whatever, advisor to Sergio Martinez. They kind of mentioned, like, they don't even know who I am. They, like, totally overlooked me. And you know what I did? I read the article and I laughed. And I was like, oh, my God. He don't know how much light he just gave me by just even mentioning my name. Do you know much happiness he brought to my life just mention my name? I don't even think about this guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, they fight in Argentina, and I'm glad he can inspire the people where he's from and be able to go out there and showcase his talent. But let me tell you something. The networks don't make the fighters. The fighter make the networks, man. You know what I'm saying? They need the fighters to be able to put us on the showcase. So, you know, as long as I keep being me and I keep going out there trying to put my best foot forward and putting up the best fights out there, that, you know, it doesn't matter if I'm on HBO or Showtime. It's all about me and it's all about my story. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, as far as what we can do, as far as, you know, getting me the best fights out there, I just got to hope that my team, Golden Boy, Al Haymon, is trying to do the best they can do to make sure that my fans get to see me often. That's what's important to me.
Well, that's a very good point, and you're absolutely right. As long as you keep on putting together the kind of performances that we've grown accustomed to seeing, Peter, there's no doubt that your star is going to continue to escalate, and we couldn't be any happier because you're one of the best ambassadors of the sport. You know, you always have kind words to say about the fight fans and about all of the other fighters and just the fight game, period. So we want to thank you for all of your kind words and all of your time in promoting the sport and also putting together just brilliant fights. I mean, you're an all-action fighter, man. You know, you're never in a boring fight. Peter, is this something that you consciously bring to the ring every single time?
Yes. We in a line of fire. I'm in a line of fire, and anybody that's in my way, they're in a line of fire. And guess what? Whoever get hit. You know, so you know, that's what is the most important thing about boxing is, like, you know, as a boxer, it's different from every other sport out there. I think boxing, the sport of boxing specifically, have people in tune with it because, like, is this really, like, something you can capture a moment in and be able to feel connected to only because, like, think about fighting for something. Think about going through college and struggling and have to go to work and earn ends meet and then going and studying and then going in to take the test. That is a fight right there. That's why people can relate to boxing so much, because everything in life, if you look at it, is really just a fight. So, like I said, and the only person that can really explain that is a guy that's emotional and a guy that's in touch with his self, meaning, like, I know who I am as a person, man. I look myself in the mirror, and I don't second-guess anything that I do. So when I know I step out there and it's time to fight, I know I'm going to turn it up and try to be the best that I can be.
Well, we love it, and we can't wait to see you in the ring. And it's going to be happening, guys, on April 27th in Brooklyn, New York. He's going to be taking on Fernando Guerrero in his first title defense of the WBO middleweight title. Now, before we let you go, Peter, we'd like to get your thoughts on a couple of fights happening in and around that time. First fight, who's going to win? Danny Garcia, Zab Judah, who wins and why?
I'm going to tell you why I never pick a winner. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I always like to promote the sport in a positive way that I can relate to both fighters. Zab Judah is coming off a great win off of Verna Karras, and he's looking to go ahead and keep his name alive. He's pretty young to be at the level where he's at. You know, he has a lot of fights, you know, on top levels, and, you know, every fighter has that dignifying moment. But let me tell you, every man's failure is another man's glory. So with that being said, Danny Garcia, who has his own thing to prove in the fight, which being a young guy and, you know, having tons of press around him and all the hype around him, he has to be able to fight through that hype and really show his fans what he really trying to prove in the sport of boxing. So, you know, it's a great matchup. It's a great fight. I'm glad. I'm I'm glad to be able to be part of this awesome card, man. It's an awesome card. It seems like Showtime right now is putting on some great fights that, you know, fight fans would love to see. So I'm just glad to be part of it, and I'm just going to go with the best man, and the best man going to win.
Well, you're absolutely right. And, you know, two more that I'd like to get your comments on. And I'm not going to ask you the winner any longer. I'm just going to ask you, what do you like about this matchup, Floyd Mayweather Jr. versus Robert Guerrero on Showtime pay-per-view May 4th, the following week after your fight?
Oh, man. You know, it's a big fight. It's a fight that Robert Guerrero is actually Floyd Mayweather's mandatory challenger. He's been wanting to fight. He got the fight. Now we want to see what he's going to do now that he got the fight. Floyd is probably one of the best fighters of this era in boxing. One of the highest paid athletes out there. He's fighting on Showtime. He's got a lot. It's a lot riding with this fight right now, being saying that, you know, he left HBO to come to HBO. And I think he should do what he does best for himself and to be able to see the family for the extra amount of years. So this is a matchup for fight fans. This is a matchup to see, you know, who got more to prove. Is it Robert Guerrero or do it have Floyd Mayweather, who has all the momentum? He's the best fighter of this era, like I said. And Robert Guerrero, this is the fight he wanted. So sometimes you get what you want. We want to see what you're going to do with it. So best man going to win in that fight as well, man. I'm very blessed to be able to be in the audience.
Oh, that's amazing. Last one, Peter. What are your thoughts on Saul Canelo Alvarez versus Austin, no doubt, Trout, April 20th in San Antonio, Texas?
Do you know I just left the gym and Canelo just walked in to do his workout? So, and is that the crazy thing about boxing? You know, like, Austin Trout is my friend. I love him, man. He's like a good guy. He's humble. He's doing everything he can do for his family. I'm just blessed with even, like, coming in the presence of him. And that fight right there being landed on Showtime, once again, I'm just reminding you that Showtime is putting on some great fights. And we, you know, that the fight fans would love to see. This is a fight that Canelo really wanted for himself. He really wants to prove to the fans that, you know, whatever they say about him is not true. So he's going to go out there, and I believe from what I see, he looks like he's going to definitely be ready. And I know Austin is definitely going to be ready. And when these two collide, it's going to be like a train wreck. You know, they're going to go out there and put their best foot forward. And we're going to really see who's, you know, the top dog at 154 pounds with this fight. And this is what this fight, to me, what that fight means to me. Whoever wins this fight is the top dog at 154 pounds.
Awesome. I love it. Thank you so much for being on the show, Peter.
Can
we always love your insight.
You leave? Can I say something?
I'm sorry.
Special?
Go ahead, sir.
I just want to tell people and all the fans that's listening, I want to thank the PJ's Corner for always bringing me on and just showing me the utmost respect. And let me explain that I have the utmost respect for real people, real fans of boxing, real writers, real commentators in boxing. I just love people that bring up the sport more than smashing the sport, because this is how I feed my family. This is how I feed myself. This is what I believe that I'm supposed to be doing, sent from God, man. So I'm very blessed with being on this air. I make sure that all my fans get me on at Kid Chocolate on Twitter and at Kid Chocolate on Instagram. I'm very blessed with y'all getting. Y'all can get me whenever y'all want me to, as long as it's not 3 in the morning.
Well, we'll make sure that it's not at that time. Peter, it's always a privilege to speak with you. And again, you're one of the best ambassadors of the sport. It's an honor. Thank you so much for being on the Pugilist Corner once again. And best of luck April 27th against Fernando Guerrero on Showtime, everyone. If you're in
God
the
bless.
Area, get your tickets at the Barclays Center. Thank you so much, Peter. God bless you, man.
Thank you. Animal status. Thank you.
Well, guys, that was the incomparable Mr. Peter Quillin. We always love talking to him. He's so much fun and always does a great job in promoting his, along with every other event in boxing. He's a true bonus to anyone who loves boxing. But, guys, coming up, we're going to kick off the second hour speaking with the talented young trainer from Salinas, California. His name is Sam Garcia. And, guys, his insight is second to none as well. We love speaking with Sam about everything boxing. And this is a gentleman who's already making waves at a very young age in the sport. So we can't wait to speak with him. And quite honestly, there's a lot to talk about. so many things in boxing, the HBO versus Showtime controversy, the Golden Boy versus Top Rank controversy, so many fights being made in 2013, and I think he's here. JK, what say you, my friend?
Yes, sir. Mr. Garcia is in the queue. Proper introductions, please.
Guys, it is always a privilege to feature this talented trainer on the show from Salinas, California, the incomparable and always astute Mr. Sam Garcia. Sam, how are you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing good so far. So good. It's been just getting ready to watch the Giants game here, hanging out.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Man. I don't want to talk about baseball right now because my Reds You know, that's the most frustrating thing about baseball. When you're playing someone and it's a pitcher's duel and it goes all the way into the to any number 13, and then you end up losing, and it's like, my goodness, you waste your entire rotation of middle relievers on that one game that ends up in a loss. Isn't that just awful?
Oh, it's terrible. I mean, I'm a Giants fan, like a diehard Giants fan, so, I mean, you don't have to talk to me about torture and one-run games and sweating it out. That's what
they're
known for around here.
You guys had a miraculous season, but we're on the Pugilist Corner. We do have the Sports Crib every Thursday if you want to come on and talk about baseball. But right now, let's focus on boxing, my man.
Yeah, I'm boxing.
But, you know, Sam, I have to bring this up, and I don't know if you want to talk about this very much, but I think it's important just to touch on this. You recently lost a very special member of Team Garcia, and it was a very young fighter that was very close to your heart. And a lot of people want to talk about, in somewhat of the mainstream medium, what a gladiator sport and what a brutal sport boxing is. But boxing did a lot of good in this young man's career. Would you like to discuss that a little bit?
Sure, I have no problem. I mean, he was a really close friend of mine. He was part of the family. Preston Freeman, you know, he was gunned down in his hometown of St. Louis. And it's just one of these, I mean, you could have wrote it in a movie script and people wouldn't have believed it, you know. Just a terrible situation. His parents are great people, great family, great cousin who's started a foundation called Team Presto. He's pushing for the justice, find the person who did shoot him down. And also, you know, they're having a march on April 4th, the same day that Martin Luther King was killed as well. So they're having a peace march in St. Louis in his hometown, led by his cousin Will Peebles. And it's just one of those, you know, I mean, we've never gone through anything like this. You know, we've lost a couple really good people that are a part of our team. You know, a guy that's lived in my neighborhood, his name is Fred Alesna. He passed away due to cancer. And then we lost our little buddy, Cy Sherman, who was a part of our team as well, also to cancer. And then this happened. It's just been a tough year. You know, it's been a tough 4 or 5 months, so for us to get through, but we're very close as a team and as a family, so we'll just, you know, we're going to have to do it in his honor and have Paul Mendez go out there and try his best. They were very close as well, so it's just it's a difficult situation to talk about. I don't know exactly, you know, just the way it played out. It was just, you know, like I said, if you wrote it in a movie drama, people wouldn't have believed it. You know, he gets sent home, yeah, pulls out of the fight due to certain reasons, you know, and he just didn't seem focused on the fight. Something was going on. I don't blame anybody. I don't blame his girlfriend, who he's really close to. I don't blame, you know, his parents or anybody back home, his friends. I don't blame, you know, the only person really to blame is the person who shot him, because, you know, we don't need that. We don't need those kind of things, you know. In this world, it's just a very difficult situation.
Well, on behalf of all the fans, all of our listeners, and everyone affiliated with the Pugilist Corner, our deepest condolences to you and to everyone involved with Team Garcia. This is a horrible, horrible tragedy, and you're absolutely right. What a good kid Preston was.
Yeah, he was a great kid. We had a great memorial service for him here, and Salinas had a great turnout. A lot of people that got to see him fight, because that's what they know. They knew him as here in Salinas was, you know, as a fighter, as a, you know, he was a public figure as a fighter. Back home, he was more well known as a, you know, just Preston Freeman. You know, not only a boxer but the person. So he had a couple great turnouts at his funeral in St. Louis, and that's good to see. You know, that's good that a lot of people had a lot of great things to say about him, and hopefully keep his name alive. Just going out there every fight and honoring him.
Well, let's talk about the gentleman that you brought up, El Gallo Negro. Mr. Paul Mendez. I mean, you know, this is a guy who's found a home in Salinas working with Team Garcia. You know, what is this fight going to mean to Paul, and what is this fight going to mean to you guys?
Well, you know, we wish we could have got the fight May 4th again, you know, at super middleweight, because we knew that Floyd Mayweather's company and Mayweather Promotions had a couple of middleweights. They have Jay Leon Love. They have a super middleweight in Bahu Jack. And we knew that both of them were going to be on the card. So we had tried to put the challenge out there. Unfortunately, you know, it didn't really work out. Nobody's fault. It just one of those things. We're not really signed with Golden Boy, although we work close with them. So, you know, we understand the business part of it. And also we had to make a decision. I believe Robert Diaz was going to or had put Paul's name in there against Badu Jack as a potential opponent for May 4th. But we had to make a decision, and my mom, who's the manager, the business leader in our teams, made the decision that June 1st would be a better choice, where he'll be the main event. It'll be off TV, but, you know, it's a sure thing. Here in the Bay Area in Redwood City, a very nice venue, and a lot of people, you know, about 1,500 people show up. So it'll be a nice little turnout for us, and it'll mean a lot, you know, coming off these horrible situations that we've been going through the last few months. So it'll be nice to get into boxing and do what we love to do.
Absolutely. You know, and I think a lot of reason, and you're going to experience this over the next year or so, is you look at Paul, you look at his career, or you look at his resume, doesn't really jump right out at you. And then when you look at the skills in the ring, boy, he's a tough test for anyone at that weight class. So, yeah, how do you actually deal with that moving forward in Mr. Mendez's career?
Well, luckily we have a very good promoter, Don Chargan, who's a Hall of Fame promoter. I mean, he's really a legend in the sport of boxing. They call him a war a week, so he's about, you know, in his 60th year of promoting, and he works. He's also Canelo's advisor, so he has incredible credentials. And luckily, he loves Paul, and he considers him his fighter. You know, as a promoter, he loves working with him. So we're just gonna keep moving forward, taking the advice of Don Chargan. My mom's a great manager; she knows exactly what to do in every situation. And me and my dad just go out there and do our best to get him ready for anybody. We hope to fight a guy like Badu Jack at 168 or fight, you know, Jay Leon Love at 160. We feel comfortable that Paul's at this level where his confidence is sky high right now. You know, we haven't fought a bunch of world beaters, but we fought some guys that were pretty tough and have tested some other young fighters who we consider at Paul's level. And, you know, maybe the last guy he knocked out took a couple good fighters to the distance. So it's a good measuring stick, and we're just going to keep moving forward, you know, and there's a fine line between rushing him and being patient. So, as a trainer, I'm a competitor. I wish we can get that fight May 4th. You know, I wish that would have happened, but, you know, I got to kind of like pull back and say this is best for his career and just keep moving forward. Hopefully we'll get a TV date sometime this year and, you know, everybody will be able to see it nationally.
Well, I tell you what, if you've got Don Chargan in your corner, then you have the best matchmaker in the business, you know, minus, you know, no disrespect to Mr. Bruce Trampler, but
yeah,
Don's the greatest.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's got a young protege, Paco Damian, who he works with, and he's a great friend of ours too. So he's grooming him to be the next great promoter. So it should be great. I mean, you know, I have a lot of high hopes for Paul Mendez's future, especially the way he's fighting and his mentality. Right now is that, you know, nobody could beat him, which wasn't always the case before. You know, he had a lot of great trainers. He had a lot of great places to train, but he's finally got somebody who, you know, is going to back him financially, who's going to say, you know what, all you have to worry about is boxing. And, you know, he's doing it the right way. You know, he doesn't have any kids, you know, to have to support or, you know, a crazy girlfriends or anything like that. So he's focused on, you know, he's focused on winning fights and making a name for himself. And hopefully we'll get a, I mean, I hope we get a big fight by the end of the year against a name opponent. Hopefully one of Mayweather Promotions guys or one of Golden Boys guys, which would be, you know, most likely.
Well, we really, really look forward to seeing what Paul Mendez does in 2013. He's an exciting young fighter that seems to be rejuvenated since training under your tutelage. And also, did you know, I'll use this opportunity to plug Mr. Don Chargan's book. He's got a book coming out this summer about his life, 60 years in boxing, with his sweetheart, Miss Lorraine Chargan, the dynamic duo of the West. And it should be out at the same time to celebrate his birthday and the Hall of Fame weekend. So it should be out that weekend. Look for it in bookstores, guys.
Yeah, he's an incredible man. I mean, I'm excited to read it. So he's been through it all. He's done it all. He's got some crazy stories about, you know, putting fighters in the ring and guys wanting to pull out of fights the day of the fight. I mean, just crazy stuff that he's gone through. Mm-hmm. He's seen it all, you know, and it should be a really interesting book.
Yeah, it's going to be out, guys, the weekend of the Hall of Fame. And just in time for his birthday as well. My goodness, can you believe Don, 85 years old, and still just kicking it in the boxing industry. That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a great passion for the sport. He loves fighters. He loves boxing. He loves the matches. And he loves putting on a great show, you know, and he's been doing it up here. I'm so lucky to be able to be a small part of it up here in the Northern California area. And he's just made his home here, and it's been incredible.
You know, that's amazing. And I tell you what, it's, last thing I want to talk to you about, Sam, is what are your thoughts, because you're always very insightful, what are your thoughts on HBO basically terminating indefinitely? Now, we have no idea how long this is going to last, but right now they're pretty adamant in terminating their once fruitful relationship with Golden Boy Promotions. What does that mean for Golden Boy? What does that mean for the landscape of boxing? Is this bad or is this good for the fans?
I mean, everybody loves HBO boxing. I mean, you can't be in the sport or be a fan of the sport without, you know, at least growing up watching great fights on HBO or Showtime, you know. So I think that Showtime's going to obviously benefit greatly. And, you know, it's too bad. It's too bad that this situation came up. I love the team of HBO. I love the production, just like anybody else. But mm-hmm. I think that great fights are going to be made, and I think that that's all that really matters truly to the fan. You know, if great fights are made by either promoter, Top Rank or Golden Boy, or any promoter for that matter, that's what matters most. And if there's an outlet somewhere to be able to see it, then that's all, you know, that's a bonus. So I mean, it's a horrible thing. I don't like being in the situation in business where you actually shut out, you know, an entire a client just as big as Golden Boy Promotions. I mean, that's a huge statement. So I don't know how bad it's going to hurt HBO, but you know, they're doing good so far. I think that Showtime has got some amazing fights coming up, some great fights coming up. I think you had a guest earlier today. Peter Kulin is going to be in a great fight, you know, and that's going to be a great card on Showtime. So, you know, it's an unfortunate situation just because as a young kid, I grew up watching HBO, you know, I mean, that's, you know, mm-hmm. you dream of saying, I want to be a trainer and I want to be able to walk out on HBO and have a fighter on HBO and have, you know, not Larry Merchant anymore, but, you know, Lampley and Merchant, do the commentating and you know, mm-hmm. you think about those things. So unfortunately they shut out Golden Boy Promotions and, that's who we work close with, so it's an unfortunate situation.
You know, it is a very unfortunate situation, and you can easily see the logic of both parties. Obviously, Golden Boy sees the road ahead. Richard Schaefer is a brilliant man, and he saw, well, guys, in order to actually bring boxing to the forefront of sports entertainment in America, we're going to have to get on mainstream public TV. And the best route through that is through Showtime and CBS. So
right.
That was his logic, and you can't argue with that. But then HBO's logic is that, hey, we've cultivated all of these stars for Golden Boy Promotions, and as soon as they become names in the sport, like Amir Khan, Danny Garcia, Adrian Broner, you guys want to pull them and take them to Showtime. And we're not going to have that. We're not going to cultivate your stable of fighters any longer until they become stars, and then you take them over to Showtime. So we're eliminating that. You know, so it really becomes a very tough quandary. Do you blame either side for doing what they've done?
You know, like you said, both sides have the reasons why they're doing it, you know. So I think Golden Boy has been a great business model for a long time, since they started. They've done things the right way. They're putting on, you know, they're promising great fights this year. Hopefully they all come through, which, you know, it looks like they are. And I can't really – it's hard to speak on the whole business side of it. You know, I don't want to say anything terrible about either side. But, I mean, you know, like, do you think that HBO made the right decision? I don't know. I don't know if they made the right decision. I think there's, you know, you got a guy like Adrian Broner who may be the next megastar in the sport, and you're just going to shut him out. So I think that's a difficult decision to make, but obviously they feel passionate enough about it to make that decision, you know. And Golden Boy, they're gonna be all right at Showtime, I believe. You know, as long as great fights are put on, that's all I care about.
You know, very well stated. Very well stated, Sam. And I think most fans are in agreement with you, pretty much all of them, because yeah, that's what drives the sport, are the matchups, the great fights, and for the most part, we're seeing them made. So I tell you what, we look forward to a very fruitful 2013. The month of March has been amazing. We look forward to an amazing April and May. And I tell you what, good luck to your man in June. And we look forward to seeing the career of Paul Mendez blossom in 2013, 2014. Thank you so much for being on the show once again, Sam. You're always a pleasure to speak with. And hey, if you always want us to talk about baseball, join us this Thursday night, man, on the Sports Crib, brother. We'll talk some baseball, brother.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm qualified. You know, I didn't go that far, but about Little League, that's about it. So I love baseball, though. I mean, since I was a little kid, man, I love the Giants. I love baseball, though.
Well, I tell you what,
the only sport I really played other than try to box, you know.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, I'm a big Reds fan, so I still have a bone to pick with you about the 2012 playoffs, my friend.
Right on. I appreciate you guys having me on. Thanks a lot, man.
It's always a pleasure, Sam. Thank you so much for being on tonight. And you have a good evening, brother.
Thank you. You too.
Well, guys, that was the very talented young trainer in Salinas, California, Mr. Sam Garcia. And I tell you what, we really want to thank him for coming on and expressing his very candid views about the loss of his friend, Mr. Preston Freeman, very talented young fighter, and just tragically taken away from the boxing world. So that's very tough, and we want to thank Sam for expressing his thoughts. Again, our condolences go out to Team Garcia and everything that they've been having to endure over the last several months. But coming up, guys, we are going to speak with our very good friend, elite-level trainer, one of the finest ambassadors of the sport, Mr. Ronnie Shields. JK, do you currently have El Maestro in the queue, sir?
Yes, sir. He's here.
Guys, coming off of his big, big victory in Monte Carlo, he is now going to be training Mr. Edwin Rodriguez in preparing for the big million-dollar fight against Denis Krejcik. And we're referring to elite-level trainer, Mr. Ronnie Shields. Ronnie, how are you doing tonight, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great. Actually, I'm doing pretty good. I don't think I ever got acclimated to the time over there. I think I stayed on Texas time.
Well, you know, and you know, that was probably a wise thing. Now, did Edwin actually take your lead as well?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. His fight wasn't beautiful, but you know, I take an ugly win over a good looking loss any day of the week.
Oh, I love it. You know, you're absolutely right. It looked like it was a very awkward, kind of just difficult style matchup, but he got through it. And, you know, that's important for any young fighter, to be able to deal with adversity. Not every style matchup is going to be brilliant. And, you know, so what, you know, Edwin got through that. And is that important, an important lesson moving forward if he wants to be at that elite level?
Absolutely. I think he learned his lesson in this fight. You know, the guy was a pretty doable guy. You know, watching him on tape, I saw that, you know, he looked like he was pretty doable. But I figured if we put a pace on him that he'd never seen before, that, you know, he might tire out. And he did. He tired out like about the eighth round. And so the last two rounds, you know, I told Evan, just put the pressure on him and don't let him off the hook. Just stay on top of him. But the guy kept ducking, and Evan did catch him in the back of the head, but the guy was really, really dirty, man. You know,
mm-hmm.
He kneed Evan a couple below the belt. I mean, actually took his knee and kneed Evan below the belt. Then he kept hitting him behind the head. Then the referee did a poor job. The guy,
mm-hmm.
he must have warned the guy for holding about 20 times, and not
mm-hmm.
once did take a point. But when Evan hit him low, he was quick to take the point right away. When Evan hit him in the back of the head, he saw the guy ducking. And
mm-hmm.
when the guy throwing a punch and you duck, you can't pull the punch back because there's too much momentum going forward. And, I mean, right away he took a point. You know, so, you know, the referee was against us, but thank God the judges wasn't.
Well, you know what? Like the great Emmanuel Stewart once said to a ref, hey, if you don't want my guy hitting him in the back of the head, then tell him not to show it to us.
That's right. That's right.
God
that's
bless Emmanuel Stewart. You know, that is so frustrating, you know. But, yeah, Edwin showed a lot of class in his post-fight commentary. But let's talk about during the fight. Now, was he coming back to the corner? And did he even have to tell you what was going on? Or did you say, hey, this guy's fighting dirty, just stick to the game plan? What actually transpired between rounds?
Well, he told me, he said, man, he said, the guy is hitting me behind the head. He's holding me. He said, the referee's calling to hold him, but he's not, you know, he's not doing anything about it. He said, then he keeps hitting me behind the head. So I said, look, Evan, just keep your composure. I said, you know, just stay focused on what you have to do. Don't worry about what this other guy is doing, but just stay focused. And I told him, I said, man, you got to rip this guy's body. So, you know, he started ripping the body a little bit. Then all of a sudden, that one shot just went way low. And, you know, but the guy really didn't want to get up. But, you know, I think he realized he couldn't win if he didn't get up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so he got up. And then, like I said, when Evan threw that overhand right, I mean, they took a point away from him. And then all of a sudden, he went through the whole van, right? And you could see the guy blatantly ducking to get hit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then he just caught the one on back of the head. But then on the next one, Evan just shortened it up a little bit and caught him around the temple. And the guy grabbed the back of his head, tried to get a disqualification. But the referee, he saw what the guy did. But he saw
mm-hmm.
Evan hit him right on the temple. And that's when he went down. I mean, the guy was hurt real bad. And I think the bell saved him on that one. But the last round, Evan just blew him away the last round. Just overwhelmed the guy.
Pretty much put the nail in his coffin. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And you know what's funny is I love that. When I watched that fight, the eighth round, it looked like Edwin started to get more of the – I'm sorry, what was it? Was it the seventh round in which he got the points deducted, or was it the eighth?
Yeah, the seventh and eighth.
Okay. Well, as soon as he got those points deducted, you saw him get pissed, and then he just went out to beating the guy up.
He did. He put a whooping on him.
Yeah, so honestly, I love seeing that from fighters. Honestly, we like to see a clean fight, but this isn't square dancing. They're fighting in there. And this is going to happen from time to time. Would you like to elaborate on that, Ronnie?
Well, you know, I mean, it is going to happen from time to time. You're going to get in a situation sometime that, you know, it's going to get sloppy. It's going to, you know, it's not going to look good. But when you're fighting in another country and, you know, this guy's European also, and you're fighting against him, you just don't know how the judges are going to react. So Evan knew, you know, and our game plan was to put the pressure on this kid. He'd never had that done to him before. And, you know, it really worked into our favor because Evan had a lot more than this kid left in the tank at the end. And, you know, and he just showed that he was much doable than this guy. So everything worked out perfectly for us.
You know, absolutely. And now looking forward, in June, we return to Monte Carlo, and he has to fight the always tough – I'm sorry, July. My apologies. In July, returns to Monte Carlo, and he has to face the always durable pressure fighter, Mr. Denis Krejcik. What are your thoughts on this very intriguing style matchup, Ronnie?
Well, you know what? I watched Krejcik with Erdai. And, you know, he seems like a doable guy. I mean, he's strong. You can see he's a power puncher. So I think Evan is going to have to take his time with this kid. And the guy's going to be a little bit bigger than Evan. So I think we're going to have to take our time and really just work on our boxing skills with him. You know, when the guy get close, he really like to let his hands go. So, you know, we're going to have to work out a few things. But, you know, I mean, I really like the matchup. I like this fight better than the last fight we just had. And I think Evan is going to win this million-dollar tournament.
I couldn't agree more. I think Edwin is the favorite, and he should be. Denis Krejcik's a very tough, durable fighter with, you know, he's capable of pulling off the upset. His two biggest victories were big upsets in Ismail Salak and then now Zoltar Dai. But Edwin, yeah, is going to be the clear favorite going into this fight. So we love Edwin's chances, and we can't wait. It's going to be on July 22nd, is that it?
July 15th.
Okay, yeah, July 15th, the week prior. Now 13th, I'm sorry. Brian Vetta. Now, Brian Vetta just had a fight on Friday Night Fights in Verona, New York, once again, against Donatas Bondarovas. Now, a lot of people are saying that there was a controversial stoppage. You know, Teddy Atlas actually had Bondarovas ahead on his scorecard, which is obviously the unofficial one. But what did you think of the stoppage? And is there any controversy there? Because the ref and the doctor claim that his corner said, hey, they can't see, they can't fight, and they called a halt to the bout. I don't see any controversy there. Why do you think this has been so controversial in the boxing media, Ronnie?
Well, you know, actually, I didn't have seen the fight yet. I haven't had an opportunity to look at it yet. But from what everything I read right after the fight, because, you know, I was able to get emails and look at, you know, just, you know, what all boxing magazines had on it. You know, from what my understanding is that the referee asked the kid if he wanted to continue. He claims he said no because he couldn't see. He said, I can't see. So if you can't see, that means you quit.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and then what I read was his manager said, well, he don't speak English, and you don't speak Lithuanian. So why didn't he come to the corner and ask the corner? But the thing is, I mean, the kid understands, do you want to continue or do you not want to continue?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, I know he understands that much. And when he said no, no in any language means no, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what language it is, no means no. If you don't understand, he should have said, ask my corner, or, you know, point to his corner and ask his corner, say, ask my corner. You know, I mean, you know, something when you have a language barrier, you got to you have to do something to make the referee understand that I don't understand what you're saying. Everybody can say, I don't understand.
Yep.
So that's
you
all
know,
they have
and quite honestly,
this.
Quite honestly, Ronnie, we spoke about this on last Sunday, on this past Sunday night show with your fill-in, Mr. Sugar Hill. And might I add, man, we've missed you the last 2 weeks, brother. But Sugar did a great job, and we spoke on Brian Vera's fight and the controversial ending. And he said, and he made a very astute observation, he said, well, it's pretty obvious what they were doing now, don't you? Can't you see it? He was trying to pull a Robert Garcia. He thought, he was under the impression, and his corner was as well, that it was caused by a headbutt and was going to go to the scorecards because they felt that they were winning the fight.
Right.
Well, when it wasn't caused by a headbutt and it was immediately deemed a TKO, then they tried to recant their story. Do you
right.
think that's the case, Ronnie?
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. I mean, you know, people, yeah. you know, but sometimes, you know, if you're not a veteran at this stuff, you have to realize, look, you know, I'm taking a chance. The referee, you know, I mean, you have to look at the referee at all times because if it's a headbutt, he's supposed to go to the corner and call it as a headbutt.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a punch, you know, you don't have to do that. You could just, you know, not say anything and really, you know, just point to the scores. I mean, to the commission and
that's right.
And it was from a punch. You know, he still made some kind of movement toward that. And if you don't see either one, you can't take a chance and say, well, you know, I think he called ahead. But you know, you can't think about, you know, if you don't see it, you can't call it. So. You know, so they made a huge mistake. They, you know, they tried to get out of it by saying, okay, you know, we think we're ahead. You know, in this sport, you can't think you're ahead. You got to know you're ahead. You know, and
that's right.
And it worked backwards against them. Now they're complaining. I mean, you can't complain now. You know, you did it to yourself.
You're absolutely right. And quite honestly, we just spoke with Brian earlier today, and he said, hey, man, I'll take the win, and I don't know what Teddy Atlas was looking at, but I was winning that fight. And he goes, look at my face, look at his face. That says it all. So I tell you what, Brian gets the big win on Friday Night Fights once again, and now is sitting pretty. And there's a lot of talk about him fighting Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., at the Alamo Dome in San Antonio, Texas. How do you like them apples, Ronnie?
Well, you know what? I've been hearing different things. I heard that Julio wants to fight in Mexico City. You know, and so I don't know. I don't know for sure. But I know what. If, you know, if the fight would happen in San Antonio, I would love that. I mean, I would love it. Brian would love it. You know, even Chavez would love it because he had so many fans in San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
But if the fight was, if they were to say, well, the fight is going to be in Mexico City, there's no way. No way. I would advise his manager, Dave Watson, to say, you know what, we're not going to take this. Because number one, it's high altitude. You have to go for at least a month to get acclimated. And there's no way in the world is going to do that. So. I don't know. You know, like I say, I don't know. I haven't heard anything, but I just, you know, just through the rumor mill, you know, I'm hearing that Chavez wants to fight in Mexico City. So we'll
see.
Well,
I mean,
also hearing they're talking to Macklin also, so I don't know.
Yeah, I've heard rumors about Matthew Macklin as well. Quite honestly, though, with all of the success that Canelo and Austin have actually had in selling tickets in San Antonio, and Top Rank's experience fighting in the Alamo Dome, and what, you know, big revenue actually they get just from the live gate, not even counting TV.
Right.
I think there's a very good chance that they'll be actually fighting in the Alamo Dome. Mexico City is fine, and I'm sure that's where Chavez wants to fight. But correct me if I'm wrong, my friend. Top Rank is the one who pays the bills.
Oh, that's without a doubt. But, you know, the thing is, too, though, they, you know, I mean, I'm not sure that they would want to go to San Antonio after Canelo and Austin because, you know, maybe they don't spend no more money there. So, I mean, I don't know. You know, I mean, it's up to the promoters and to HBO on how they want to handle that. But, you know, they Austin Trout and Canelo are really selling great. The tickets are selling really well. And I don't know if they want to come and go back and try to say, well, and do another Alamo Dome. They may have to go to a smaller venue.
Wow. Well, we'll see what happens. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. Right now, the Alamo Dome, I think they've already, I think, sold over 31,000 tickets, I think was the last report from Mike Batta. And, my goodness, they've opened up another section, and tickets are still on sale, and they're still going really quickly. So we love it. And we love the fact that one of your guys is going to be on the undercard as well.
Yes, sir.
Now, we're almost out of time, Ronnie, so I really have to bring this up really quickly, and I apologize that this is only a 20-minute segment tonight. But what are your thoughts on the proposed matchup? Alfredo Angulo, Errez Landy Lara. Looks like it's almost a done deal. What are your thoughts on this, sir?
Oh, man, that's a fight that Lara has been wanting for so long. He's been wanting this fight for so long, and now it's right there at the fingertips now. So hopefully we got our fingers crossed, that the fight gets made. You know, and as of today, it was like 99.9% sure that it was going to get made for June 8th. So at the Home Depot Center in Carson, California. So hopefully, you know, it happens. And, you know, Lara, you know, we started back training today. And, you know, he's so excited, man. I just see it in his eyes. And he just told me today, finally. You know, so he's really getting up for this, man. He's ready.
Oh, we love it, and we can't wait to see it. And hopefully it's a done deal, and hopefully the fight is announced early next week. Ronnie, this is going to be a terrific 2013 for you, my friend, and we couldn't be any happier. You're one of the finest ambassadors of the sport, and it's always a privilege to feature you on the show, sir. And, man, it's good to have you back.
It's great to be back, man. It really is. I'm looking forward to seeing you, talking to you guys again on Sunday.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Ronnie. You're such a credit to the sport, sir. Have a good evening, and we look forward to speaking with you on Sunday night, my friend.
Okay, take care.
You too, sir. God bless you. Well, guys, that was the incomparable Mr. Ronnie Shields. Good to have him back. Good to hear his voice on the Pugilist Corner. And if you want to listen to more of Ronnie's candor, tune in every Sunday night. He's featured in the second segment of the hour and a half show. Very good. Well, guys, I tell you what, coming up right now, we have a very special treat for everyone. In the final segment of the program, we're going to be featuring undefeated super featherweight prospect, Mr. Joel Diaz Jr. Joel, how are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing very good right now. How are you guys?
We're doing great now that you're on the air, my friend.
Yeah, man. Thank you for having me on air, man. Appreciate it.
Well, I tell you what, man. You're such an exciting fighter to watch. 11-0 with 10 knockouts. Wow. When is your next fight scheduled, sir? And are you looking for another knockout?
My next fight scheduled is April 4th, this coming Thursday. Thursday, I believe, yes. And, I mean, a knockout, if the knockout is there, what can we say? You know, it's there. But, I mean, if it's not there, then we're ready to battle it out, you know? We're fighting 8 rounds on Thursday, April 4th. So, like I said, I mean, if the knockout is there, then it's there. If it's not, then it's not. Let's do the 8 rounds, you know?
Absolutely. Now, that's right. It's going to actually be in Houston, Texas, April 4th. That's kind of odd to have a fight night on a Thursday, but it's become, because of the, I guess, promotional work of Lou Savarese there, it's become almost a staple in Houston now, where a lot of people see a lot of big matchups on Thursday nights. Are you looking forward to showing your skills in Houston, Texas?
Yes, sir. I mean, I've been looking forward to it since my last fight, and I mean, I haven't been in the ring for about 6-7 months, you know. So, and I was supposed to be back in the ring last month, but I mean, some things happened, you know, with injuries. But yes, man, I'm very excited to get back into that ring. I even actually got a big smile on my face right now just by saying it. Yeah,
that is great.
It's been a long time, and it's just talking about it, just the blood rushing, you know.
Well, I tell you what, we actually have a cameraman that's going to be there, and he's going to be conducting some interviews for us there. So be so kind to give our guy some time so we can give you the proper representation on East Side Boxing, my friend.
Yeah, man, I will. I ain't no hard guy, you know. I'm a very mellow guy outside the ring, you know. So So if anything, we could do an interview. I'm with that.
I love it, you know, and this is going to be a great event. And, guys, again, it's happening in Houston, Texas, Thursday, April 4th. So go out and support live boxing and support Joel Diaz Jr., one of the future big stars of boxing. And, you know, I'm going to say that right now, one of the future big stars of boxing, because, man, you are so exciting in the ring. I mean, honestly,
thank you. Appreciate it.
You know, you always bring it, man. Does Abel Sanchez sometimes get in your ear and say, hey, dude, you're just too tough for your own good?
Yeah,
or does he actually encourage your fight style?
Both, actually. I mean, there's times to be where I need to be rough, and there's times where I got to slow my roll to save the energy, you know. I mean, like if I want my sparring to come back, I need to slow my roll. That's when Coach Abel tells me to just chill it, you know. So I mean, if we want good sparring, then we need to slow our roll. But you know, it's a time where we need to slow it down, and there's a time where we need to roughen it up a little bit. But yeah, from time to time, Abel tells me to chill it. But it's only boxing, you know. It's only boxing, and we're gonna get hit. So
yeah. You know what's amazing is, Abel had a big fight this past weekend in Monte Carlo, in which Gennady Golovkin, he looked like a beast against Nobuhiro Ishida. Now, you know, you work there in the same gym, you know, you work out in Big Bear Lake, you know, so please tell all of our listeners that don't, you know this maybe. Is Gennady Golovkin the real deal, or is he hype? Please let us know.
He's not hype, I can tell you that. He's the real deal. He's the next champion. He's I want to say future champion, because it's going to happen. You know, he's a real deal, man. I could call him the real deal, has a steel, you know? the real deal has a steel, man, because, I mean, everything that he touches just falls and breaks, you know? I mean, not breaks, but everything that he touches breaks, man. But he's a very humble guy as well, though. He's there for the same purpose that I'm there for, work, you know. We're both there for work, and I mean, after training and all that, that's when we get to talk. And he's a very good guy. He's very, very chill.
Yeah, you know, he's such a cool guy. And you know, it's funny though, because he's still learning English. It's funny, you know, he almost reminds me of a younger Manny Pacquiao when he was just learning English, and
when he
was trying to do his interviews in English, where he pretty much gives the same response to every single question now, doesn't he?
But I'm there. Me and Coach Abel and the people at the summit that know English are actually there to help him, you know. Every time he's there during camp and I'm there, Coach Abel tells him, you know what, just keep talking to him constantly, and you know, he could pick up, and that's what I do. You know, I pick up conversations with him, long conversations, so he could pick up his vocabulary and his English vocabulary, you know.
Well, that's great, man. You keep on doing it, because that's what this sport's all about now, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's just helping each other. And, you know, most people, even though you guys have to compete in the ring, I mean, you're friends with all of these fighters. It's almost like a brotherhood. And you guys are making each other money. Most people don't understand that, but please elaborate on that, that it is like a true brotherhood in the gym.
It is a brotherhood, actually. We're not just fighters. I mean, we're human beings as well, you know, just like you, just like everybody else that's in the streets, you know. We're brothers. We're a family now, actually. I mean, we spend holidays together when we're there in camp. We spend Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. We're not just fighters. We're a family now. So we're pretty tight now.
That's amazing. And you know, that's exactly, I mean, that's something that really isn't touched on enough, you know, in the sport of boxing. And I think that's a big misconception that, yeah, you guys are there to help each other in camp and you guys support
correct.
Each other in the fights. You know, what's amazing, Joel, is that Gennady, you know, in the middleweight division, he's the current WBA title holder, but most people recognize Sergio Martinez as the champion in the division. Can you conceivably see Sergio Martinez stepping in the ring with Gennady?
I could see him in the future fighting Gennady Golovkin, you know, but In the meantime, I think he's kind of dodging them. You know, he's choosing his fights right now. They're choosing their fights, and I think when it's the right time, then they'll step up to GGG Gennady Golovkin. And when it's the right time, Gennady Golovkin is gonna put it on him. You know,
you know, it's gonna be very interesting, and we really hope that fight's made. Now, we look at the super featherweight division, and you're still competing at 130, correct?
Correct, I am.
Okay. Well, big fight coming up this Saturday night, and it's going to be in Macau, China. It's going to be Diego Magdaleno versus Rocky Martinez, and it's going to be for the WBO title?
WBO, correct.
You know, is there any possibility of you facing the winner, or is there that promotional kind of conflict possibly stepping in the way with that? Because, quite honestly, I would love to see you eventually fight for the WBO title.
Yeah, I mean, we all would, you know, but it's the promotional contract, you know, whatever. If they offer me the good amount, if they offer me good things, and you know it's possible. But for now on, we'll just continue to take these fights. And I mean, we still got a long way to go. You know, I'm young. I just turned 21, so I mean, a lot of things can happen in these 10 good years of boxing. You know, so we're just taking it slow right now.
You know, that's a very good point. Forgive me, man. Because you sound like such a mature young man, you know, I always forget that you're only 21, man, and you only have 11 fights under your belt. I apologize for that.
Right.
But when do you actually think that Abel's, you know, and your handlers are going to say, okay, you're ready. Let's go get championship gold.
When it's the right time, I have a great team under my back. You know, I got a great team once again, and they'll tell me when it's time to get a title, when it's time to get a championship, you know, and they would know too. So until then, we just wait and see what happens in the near future.
Absolutely, and we really look forward to seeing that in the near future, within the next couple of years. But until then, brother, we look forward to seeing you knocking everyone out, man.
thank you. I'll try my best to continue with the knockouts, you know, just for the fans. But until then,
you know, what's amazing is that what is the venue that you're going to be actually fighting at in Houston? Do you have that information, sir?
No, I don't have that information. Actually, I just know that it's in Houston, Texas, and it's some. With some, it's
Well, I tell you what, while I'm looking that up very quick, I'm sorry. While I'm looking up that information right now, please let us know who you actually favor in this big super featherweight matchup. Diego Magdaleno or Rocky Martinez? Rocky's the incumbent champion. This is Diego's very first attempt at championship gold, and he seems to be the fan favorite going into this. What are your thoughts on this very intriguing bout in Macau, China?
Diego, actually, I think Diego. You could say I'm a fan. He's all right at the 130 division, at the super featherweight division, but he's young. He got skills. He's quick. He got power, and I think he has a chance with Rocky on this one.
You know what's amazing is Rocky was in a very controversial bout his last time in the ring, and it was against Juan Carlos Salgado. Juan Carlos Mini Burgos. My apologies there. Juan Carlos Mini Burgos, and a lot of people thought that he should have lost that fight, and he retained the title because it was a draw.
Yes.
So, I mean, what were your thoughts on that fight?
I actually didn't catch that fight, honestly. Didn't really see that fight.
Oh, well, you know, what's amazing is that a lot of people think that Rocky is kind of gone life or death in his last two bouts, and that's one of the reasons why a lot of people are favoring Diego Magdaleno going into this fight. And he's a southpaw, very slick fighter. He's a chameleon.
Yeah.
He's, you know, I think this is his time. What are your final thoughts on this before we start promoting your event, sir?
I think Diego got this one. He's young. Like I said, he's young. He's fast. He got the style, and he could fight. You know, same thing for his brother. Them two got
Oof.
The speed, and they got, you know.
Jesse. Jesse looks like a beast now, doesn't he?
I was up there in Junior Olympics in Michigan with him. He was my roommate, and we chopped it up. We were cool, and just to see him up there make it to the top. I'm very happy for him. You know, I'm very happy for him.
Yeah, absolutely. They're great guys, and we wish them nothing but the best of luck. And their future is definitely bright in the sport of boxing.
Yeah,
but speaking
exactly.
of bright futures, guys, if you're in the Houston, Texas area, go out to the Bayou Event Center in Houston, Texas, where Joel Diaz Jr., 11-0, 10 knockouts, is going to be making his comeback and taking on tough Victor Sanchez in the main event of the evening. You know, Joel, I love this. I love this fight. I love your willingness to step in the ring and just bang it out with anyone. You know, do you even know Victor Sanchez, or you really don't even care? You just want to impose your will and break this guy down?
Both. Both, actually. I actually seen him fight his last fight in the Timothy Bradley car. So, and then his name came up just 2 weeks ago. And, I mean, I don't personally know the kid, but, I mean, we're going to chunk them out. You know, that's what boxing is all about. And
absolutely.
Let's see who the best man is, and hopefully that night I'm the best man, you know?
Well, I tell you what, are you 100% healthy going into this? Because we know you're coming off of a wrist injury.
Yeah, I'm 110% healthy now.
Awesome.
During this training, I mean, we needed to rest a little bit, you know, rest the wrist, but other than that, We're more than ready, and I'm very excited to get back to the ring.
Awesome. Well, guys, once again, it's happening this Thursday night, April 4th, at the Bayou Event Center in Houston, Texas. If you're in the area, go see Mr. Diaz's work. It'll definitely be worth it. Mr. Diaz, thank you so much for being on the program once again. We always love featuring you on the Pugilist Corner. please let your fans know what they have to expect on April 4th, my friend.
We're going to see a new Joel Diaz. You know, I mean, a 6 month off Joel Diaz that they've been expecting for the past 6 months. And you guys are gonna want to keep your eyes peeled for this one.
Awesome. We can't wait. And thank you so much for being on the Pugilist Corner once again, brother. We look forward to featuring you on many, many episodes to come in the near future. Your future is definitely bright, my friend. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. God bless.
God bless you, too, and you have a good evening. JK, it's about that time. Take us home, my friend.
Like all our guests tonight, either and all the way Sam Garcia, Ed, also all Tyson Fury, and of course Mr. Ronnie Shields. We'll see you all next week on the Pugilist Corner, and don't forget to catch us Sunday on the Weekend Wrap. Have a great night, everyone. See you next week.